Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Let's read verses 5 and 6 again, okay? I'll try to get off of them maybe after today. Through him, so Paul is introducing himself to the Roman church. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. And the people said, amen. Maybe seated. When I read and reread our text this morning, I can't tell you how many times in the past month, but especially the past week, I have reread verses 5 and 6 of Romans chapter 1. You say, well, you know, there's only a few words there. How can you spend that much time reading two verses of Scripture? Well, there's only two verses. I was reminded the other day, Jody Slaughter, I think, came to me, and, you know, people come with crazy questions about the Bible sometimes. Jody came and held that book, that up to me on his phone. He said, do you see that first chapter of the book of Romans beginning in verse 1 and going down? And, of course, I've read through verse 7 so far. And I said, I do. He said, there's only one period, and it's at the end of verse 7. So Paul wrote a run-on sentence, according to what Miss Moat would say in my English class in high school. But let me tell you something. It's packed with information. And when I reread this verse again for, I don't know, the umpteenth time, whatever that is, grace, which we defined last week and talked about grace, and I appreciate the comments that you made about that message about grace. We talked about it and defined it last week, and we said that grace is the unmerited, that means I don't deserve it, you don't deserve it. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Through grace, he gave us Christ. Through grace, he gives us a way that we can be reconciled with him through the blood of Jesus. Grace delivers, protects, prevents, and sustains the people of God. We covered all that last week. So that's all the rehearsal you're going to get of going back and looking at something we've already said. I want to move forward. Grace delivers, protects, prevents, and sustains the people of God to be apostles for him. That word apostle, it just jumps out at me. I believe that every one of us, when we receive from God grace, we come to a better understanding of his great love for us. When I ponder grace, when I think about grace, I think about all the nuance of grace that I've read about and studied about and had classes about. We spent, I don't know how long, in Greek class just talking about one word, grace. And so I've studied that word a lot, but when I look at the word grace, I move to think about the power and the presence of God, and then I see that grace comes along and empowers us, if you will, and I'll share more with them and move along, to be apostles for him. Have you ever been in a situation where you know that God's grace kept you? You ever been there? I've been in the places this week. A place where we're looking back, and a lot of times I've got to look back and realize that the grace of God has sustained me. I've got to look back and realize that God had his arms around me the whole time, and I hate that I miss that, because it wouldn't be good just to praise God in the midst of that thing of knowing that God's got you. A lot of times I've got to get through that on the other side, Jim, to be able to realize it was God all the time. A place where you can look back, and you look back and realize what grace has done for you. And you see the wonderful power. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is more powerful than anything that has ever been or ever will be or ever will come. Anything there has ever been, God is more powerful. More powerful than the atom bomb. More powerful than DNA. He made DNA. He allowed the atom bomb to be made. He is God. And I know that he's God, and therefore, because he's God, I trust him. And I see here in the Word, as I study through this, that his grace is greater than my sin and my sin circumstance. I think about Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to this verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. That means he won't let you down. That means when you least expect it, look around, God is already there. That means when you're in a situation, look around, God is there, he is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation, a lot of times folks read this wrong, listen to it. With that temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He didn't say he's going to get you out of a tight situation. He said he's going to show you how to get out of that situation. He didn't tell you that you'll never be tempted. He just said, when you are tempted, I'm going to show you a way to get out of that. If you look to God and His grace, you'll discover that He'll always make a way for us. That way of escape in that verse is the way to bear up under circumstances and situations in our life. It's a picture of the power of God. And in that power, He gives us grace. And grace, as I said, always provides and always protects. It always provides a way of escape for us. His grace is a product of His unconditional love. See, God didn't get up this morning and smell our breath and decide He didn't love us. He didn't get up this morning and say, you know, I don't think I'll love Reagan anymore. He didn't get up this morning and change His mind about loving anybody. God loves us. And He loves us unconditionally, and that grace that He provides for us comes to us without condition. You don't have to do anything special. Just say yes. That's all you have to do. Just say yes. Here's a gift of grace, and you take that. And I'm really drawn when I get past that word grace. I didn't mean to get stuck there, but I'm really drawn to another word in that sentence, in these couple of sentences that make up these two verses. I'm drawn to the word apostleship. That word apostleship, to be honest with you, has haunted me in the last few days. I would think that I had a handle on it. I would think I had this figured out. And then I would realize I didn't have it figured out at all. And I'd go back to the drawing board and I'd say, God, teach me. And let me tell you something. When I said, God, teach me about apostleship, give me your word, tell me what I can share with the body of believers at Northside Baptist Church about apostleship, and it began to flow. And it flowed so much that I told Bob, he usually makes a prediction, I'll make it today. I may not finish this. There may be a part two to this sermon. I believe the words of 1 Corinthians 10:13 that I just read to you that are very applicable to an apostle who serves the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to venture out on Cooksey theology for a second, okay? I believe it is vital for you to live right for God. Now, here's the part you may disagree with. If you disagree with, that's fine. Come see me like next Friday. I'm going to be out. I believe with all my heart that the degree that you experience God and His grace and His mercy and His keeping power, the degree to which you experience Him is going to be balanced by the degree in which you have relationship with Him. That makes sense? Is that all right? If you're distant from God, you got to spend a lot of time getting back to God before you realize it is God. You ever been in a place where you were so distant from God you weren't sure where God was? I have. I've been in places in my life before I came to Christ and even some after that I got so distant from God and talked to God a long time. And because of that, I didn't know Him. I didn't have that relationship that I needed to have with Him. I think your relationship matters. Especially when we talk about grace and we talk about this word apostleship. You will never be an apostle until you're in relationship with God. And I don't mean just coming down the aisle and taking preach by the hand, shaking the hand, going through waters of baptism. I don't mean coming down the aisle by your statement that you've been born again and that you know Jesus and never do another thing for the kingdom. That's not what I'm talking about. There's 2,565 or so members of this church. We seat 788 or so in this building without those chairs back in the back. We got some room. Now, there are a lot of people out today that I know would be out. A lot of people are Baptists. They don't like to get, they're afraid they'll get sprinkled to be misunderstood as a Methodist, so they'll come to church when it rains. I hope it rains big the day Jesus comes. But your relationship with the Lord is going to determine your relationship with the Lord. It's going to determine what you get out of it. I have a pickup out there. I bragged on Clint last week. I'll brag on him again this week. I've got a pickup out there. Well, it's at home right now. I was ashamed to bring it today. I went dove hunting Friday, and it was nasty. My truck now has, Clint just smiles when I say this, I got 90,000 on my truck. But I'm going to tell you something about that truck. If I could have weaned that truck off of gasoline when I bought it, I might retire. You got to fuel it. Got to change the oil. Thank God for Ringo Tire. They changed my oil. Keep me going. It takes a little bit of maintenance to be able to have a dependable vehicle. You see where I'm going? If you're going to have a dependable relationship with God that's spot on, you don't have to spend any time saying, oh, God, forgive me. I've been so distant. I've been so far away from you, God. How can I be an apostle for you? How can I experience your grace? I've been so distant. Listen, when you're in relationship with God, you don't have to come back and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I've been so distant from you. I've been so far away. Listen, if you walk hand in hand with God in that relationship, God will bless you with the power that you need to, and sustain you and keep you and protect you and move you along. The problem is with apostleship. Apostleship means that specifically in the New Testament, that word apostleship means that I am an apostle of Christ. And a lot of people argue about apostleship. I read somebody the other day got in an argument in their writing about apostleship and if there were any apostles left. Well, I got an idea about that. I think when you really talk about a definition of an apostle in the New Testament, the apostle or apostleship had a variety of different uses, but specifically, when it was first used, guess who was described as an apostle? Jesus was. So I miss that. So listen, in terminology, Jesus was described as an apostle. Hebrews talks about he is a great high priest. He is an apostle. He is the one that delivers the word of God to us. We know about God because of Christ. We know about God because Jesus Christ, the one true apostle, was sent by God to tell us about himself and to let us understand that through him we can be saved. Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our profession. In Hebrews chapter 3, you can read about it. He's the Son, Jesus is, through whom God has spoken his final word. He's an apostle. Hebrews chapter 1. He's the high priest who has made, I love this word, he has made propitiation. That means your bill has been paid. That means that it's paid in full. He has made propitiation for our sin through his blood shed on the cross. The high priest, Jesus Christ himself, the true one apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent with a message, and that message is a message of salvation, the high priest has made propitiation for our sins. Every one of us can go to heaven because of Jesus. Amen. Not because you know me, not because I know you, not because you're a member of Northside Baptist Church, not because you've been baptized, because you know Jesus. There are going to be a lot of denominations surprised that aren't going to be the only ones there. It matters that you know Christ. And if you know the great apostle, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you know what matters. Now, is it right for us to think that we can be apostles? I mean, if Jesus Christ was an apostle, and you look at the New Testament, there's all kinds of nuance and different ways it's used, is it right for us to think that you and I today can be apostles? That word describes a Christian witness. That word describes a person who is talking about the saving power of Jesus. To be an apostle is not to be elevated to some high and mighty position. You know, there are people today, there's some people who teach that there's just a handful of apostles, and they're really something. Listen. I don't buy into that. I buy into the fact that there's a whole bunch of God's people, and God's people are really something. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacon. It's not the teacher. It's not that person, this person. It's not some pastor that's on TV. It's not somebody that's selling lies. It is somebody who is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel. That's what an apostle is. Can we be apostles today? Is it possible for you and I to claim that office, to say, yes, I will be an apostle? So what does it mean to be an apostle today? What does that entail? I think, first of all, to be an apostle today, realizing that Jesus Christ came as the original apostle to spread his word. And his word was God's word. It was God's plan to send his only begotten son to die for us, and Jesus Christ came to earth to share that gospel, to share that truth. And he did so with his disciples. And later those disciples were called apostles. And basically in the New Testament, when you talk about an apostle and you're not talking about Jesus, you're talking about somebody that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw him after he was resurrected. So here we are asking that question, can I be, what does it mean for me to be an apostle today? It's to realize the gift of God's grace. It's to realize that God has given you grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that grace, he chooses to make us disciples. And as disciples, we become apostles. The apostle, remember, is that one who comes with the gospel. That one who is sent by God the Father through the Son to bring the gospel. That's the task of every one of us in this building. Not just mine, not just the deacon, not just the teacher, not just somebody special. It is every one of our tasks to tell our world about Jesus Christ. We are apostles, every one of us. And here's the thing. You got to realize it's a God-given call. I didn't just wake up one day and decide I want to do this. I woke up one day with a hankering for fried chicken, knew God called me to Baptist preacher. No. No, I woke up one morning, actually late one night, and I realized that God was calling me to ministry. I went down an aisle at Calvary Baptist Church, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and knew right then that he had called me. He calls those who will serve him. So I'm not a preacher. I don't look for him to call me. Listen, he calls everybody. Everyone in this building is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that empowers me. Same Holy Spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead. Amen. That Holy Spirit is in this building today in the hearts and lives of people. So every one of us are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be apostles and go and tell our world about Christ. Amen. Somebody shared with me something the other day. They said to me, they told me how old they were. I listened to it. I don't remember exactly. I want to say they were in their mid-50s. It doesn't matter. And they called me. Listen, a lot of times when folks call me and say they want to see me, want to talk to me, it's not good. Especially those late-night calls. They're never good. This person called me and said, I need to tell you something. I said, well, do you need to come see me? No, I can tell you over the phone. And I thought, then maybe they don't want to stand in front of me. Tell me, man, you need to learn some things. I wasn't sure. They came to me and they said, you know what? I remember, 57. I'm 57 years old, and I never led anybody to Jesus. I couldn't share Christ with my family. I shared Christ with my cousin. My cousin came to know Jesus Christ. He's going to be baptized this coming weekend. I won't be in church. I've got to go there. Never shared Christ with anybody before. I want you to know that dude was joyful. I want you to know that today, if you were to ask that man, I'm not going to tell you what, if you were to ask him, are you an apostle? He'd say, yes, I'm an apostle of Christ because I shared the gospel. As apostles that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are purveyors of the gospel. I was watching one of my favorite TV shows the other day, Andy Griffith. I've already bought the first two seasons. I've seen every one of them, and every once in a while I see one, I think, I've never seen that before. When I think of a purveyor, I don't know if you've ever seen this, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story. There's a guy that comes to town selling these bottles of elixir. Remember? And it turns out the elixir is something stronger than Jack Daniels. And so the sheriff has to bust him, but he has to do so through the helpful hand of Barney Fife. The elixir. When I think about a purveyor, I think about those guys that used to come to town with a sack on their back and had all kinds of things to sell. You and I, watch this, you and I are purveyors of the gospel. If you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, now you know the greatest story ever told. Now you know the story that everybody in the world needs. Now, because you are carrying the gospel, because you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now the purveyor of that gospel. We are charged in the Word of God, by God Himself, through the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, saved by Jesus Christ, to share our faith. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. I've noticed something. I've noticed that when a person's life gets intersected by Christ, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes in her life. I've noticed in the lives of people that get intersected by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, their lives are radically changed. And they begin to realize that Hebrews 7:25, I love this verse of scripture, it says, therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost. Amen. Listen, I'm glad he can save the uttermost because I was there. I know what it means to be uttermost. I know what it means to be at the bottom of the barrel. That was me. Save the uttermost to those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Get this. I'm going out sharing Jesus Christ. You go out and share Jesus Christ. Whomever you share Christ with looks at you and says, what do you mean? Tell them that the God of the universe that created, it's really good at night when you can look up and see all the stars. We can't see them now, but they're up there. And I just say, listen, the God who created all of that loves you. And his son, the apostle Jesus Christ, is making intercession for you. I don't know what to say. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will say it for you. If we know that we know Christ, we are apostles. We have the task of sharing Jesus. We are purveyors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So anyone who comes to Jesus, how many of you know Jesus? Well, somebody wake that dude up. He knows Jesus. He's awake. I know that I know Christ. So anyone who comes to Jesus now has a responsibility, a task, God-given task, that makes us responsible to him to be an apostle or a witness of Jesus. Gail and I were talking the other day about Roddy's service. We're talking about music, and she said, you know, there's one song that I want to be sure and play, and it's an old Ray Bolts song. Ray Bolts didn't turn out so good, but man, it's a great song. And it's that song, Thank You. Thank you for sharing Jesus. Thank you for telling me about the Lord. Thank you. As I read Rodney's obituary and I read all the information I've been seeing on those websites there at Andy's Place, I've been seeing all those websites. And as I said a few moments ago, everyone, time after time after time again, no matter if they were in corrections, no matter if they were jail boards, no matter where they were, working at TDC, didn't matter, or in the church, they said, you know what? That man loved God. Listen, if nothing else can be said to me when I'm dead and gone, please, let it be that he finished well and he loves God. If we are purveyors of the gospel, we'll fall in love with God because we realize what he's done for us. And as apostles, we're not elevated to some high and mighty office. In fact, we're delegated as just messengers. As apostles, I thought about this. We got a precious lady in our church that's a postmaster. We got folks in our church that carry the mail. I check the mail at my house every day. When I go home for lunch, I check the mail. I drive in and I get out of my truck. It's my exercise. I get out of the truck and I check the mail. I be sure the steps count, you know, back and forth. I get the mail out. Usually it's junk. I get a lot of junk. And if you're not 65, wait till you get 60. You get a lot of junk. You get a lot of junk anyway, but I go check the mail every day. The only way that mail gets in my box is the mail carrier has to take that mail and leave the post office with it and come deliver it to my house. Bless her heart, she straddles a console in her car, driving with this hand 70 miles an hour down the road, feeding mail in the mailboxes. The only way you ever get your mail, and the postmistress can help me if I'm wrong, is the carrier has to leave the office with the mail. Hello. You got the mail. You got Jesus. You're an apostle. If you know Christ, you have the task now of sharing Christ, and so you got the mail. And the mail will never be delivered if you don't leave the post office. Here's the post office. Go out. Deliver the mail that you have. Deliver what the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. Tell others about Christ. We are all apostles. As apostles, you got to leave the post office. You got to carry the mail. You got to carry the message that you have. You can't just sit on it. I admit this openly and publicly. One of my favorite movies of all time. Well, I like Shawshank Redemption pretty good. But The Notebook is one of my favorite movies. I see you laughing at me. I got a copy of it right here. We can play it right now. I watched it 3 or 4 times in a month or so. In that movie, Mama has kept the letters that the poor man that loved her wrote her, one letter every day for 365 days. Remember? Oh, you haven't seen it. You need to see it. A great love story. So if you love love stories, man, I love love stories. The greatest love story I know is the love story of Jesus. But in this movie, Mama has kept the letters because she didn't think this man was good enough for her daughter, and she kept the letters away from her. And finally, there comes one in that movie where she goes over and pops open an old trunk, reaches in, gets a stack of letters this high. Please don't sit on the mail you have. Please deliver the letter that you got in your heart. Please go and be an active apostle telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let those around you know. Don't let them be surprised that you know Jesus. Rodney Cooper was a man they said it would, and I know it for a fact. Didn't matter where he was, what he was doing, whether he was in a prison, a jail, or didn't matter. He didn't mind folks knowing that he knew Jesus. Now, I'm going to close with this, Bob. I got to finish this next week because I got too much to go. You're not going to get out any earlier. Don't be thinking that. Apostleship, first of all, if you believe that you are an apostle, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whew, we got some work to do. There's more voices here than that. So we believe, basically, I'm going to say, let's do it this way. If you believe you're an apostle, hold your hand up. All right, now we're getting somewhere. So if you believe you're an apostle and you've got the story of Jesus, apostleship grows as faith is practiced. Well, I don't know how. You are not going to till you try. Let me tell you something. I don't have a problem sharing Jesus with anybody. I don't care who they are. I love to get some old boy just saying things they ought not say and talking the way they ought not talk and finally just saying, hey, I'm a preacher. It's amazing how quick they stop talking bad. Listen, it ain't me that matters. It's my boss that matters. So rather than me tell you about me and the church that I pastor and the great things God is doing here, first let me tell you about Jesus. And when you get used to telling folks about Christ, it just flows off your tongue. So you get better as you practice. Have you noticed? When I was in high school, I played golf. I played golf in the afternoons because I didn't go to school. I was not have to go. I got out at 1 o'clock every day my senior year. Myself, Carl Hickman, several of us, we go play golf every day. When I was in college, we played golf. I quit playing golf because it's one of the most frustrating games I ever played in my life. Let me tell you something about driving down a fairway. I can hook and I can slice. When I get on the green, I'm worse. My son and I played golf together a time or two, and let me tell you something, that boy can knock a ball straight as from here to over on Wallace Road on the other side of the woods over there. Get on the green, he can't get in the hole to save himself. I would like to have those little things like they have in a bowling alley to keep the balls from going in the gutter. I'd like to have just a channel at least on the hole. You know why I'm no good at golf? I don't practice. I ain't got time. I ain't got time to be a pastor and play golf. Golf takes too long. Takes me too long. You know why I'm good at eating? I've done it a time or two. And in fact, I'm thinking about daisies right now. You get good at what you do. People say, well, why ain't you good at preaching? I'm still learning, okay? But you get good at what you practice. Listen. If you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've already admitted, I tricked you into it, you've already admitted that you know you're an apostle, apostleship grows as faith is practiced. One will not understand the calling that you have to be an apostle until you first are obedient to the faith. I love that word, obedient. You know that, obedient to the faith. What does that mean? Well, the faith is that you know Christ, you believe by faith you are saved. So you believe by faith in the grace of God and you're saved. So now you got to practice that faith. You got to tell others about that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And obedience to that faith means that down deep inside, deep seated down inside your heart, there's a relationship with God that cannot be shaken. I talked to Gail Cooper the other day. I went immediately after I got the call and The time I got the call, we didn't know if Roddy had survived. We didn't know anything about the grave, just knew that he'd gone down, and I went to the house. And when I got there, we cried and we wept, and the call came that yes, it was official, that it was Rodney Cooper, and it was his plane, and that he was gone. And we wept even more. But let me tell you something. I know where my friend is. He's in heaven. I know that if I drop dead right now, you say, that's a bold statement. Listen, I know if I drop dead right now, I'm going to be with the Lord. I told Gail the other day, as our hearts were hurting, I said, Gail, let me tell you what I believe. Now, you're going to think, man, you're crazy. I'm not coming back to church anymore, but here's what I believe. Roddy never knew that plane hit the ground. Because you see, somewhere along the way, his time came up, and Jesus Christ himself, not Peter, not John, not any angel, Jesus Christ himself came to that cockpit and said, come on, boy, I'm taking you with me. He never knew when he hit the ground. Well, how's that? An apostle saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you something. Doesn't it make sense that we ought to practice our faith? Doesn't it make sense that we ought to be obedient to what God has said? Apostles cling to the belief that they have all the hope through Jesus Christ. I should have got Jenna up here to sing All My Hope about that time. Until the gospel and faith, I'm going to stop here. Until the gospel and faith gets under your skin. You know what that means? That means it gets there. And it's there and it eats at you until the gospel and faith gets under your skin. You will not see the need for apostleship. You won't until it gets in your heart, gets deep-seated, gets under your skin. And listen, the best way for faith to get under your skin, the best way for the gospel to get under the best way to be an apostle is just be obedient to the faith. What's that mean? That means tell others about Jesus. It's amazing what will happen. I want to challenge you with something. I got a card in my wallet. I don't have my wallet in here. It's on my desk. And if you go get it right now, there's not any money in it. But it's on my desk. But I've got a card in my wallet that I have had in my wallet for many, many years. And Ken Watford knows about this and some of you others. I've had this card in my wallet for many, many years, and I've been praying for one person. And I literally wear the card out and give it to him. And then I put me another card in there and I write his name and I pray for him every day. I want to challenge you with something. Do you believe you're an apostle? Hold them up. Don't put them up and put them down. I want to see. Okay, that's most all of us. Some of you are not sure yet, so I expect to see you down front in a minute. If you know that you're an apostle, I want to challenge you with something. This week. Today, Monday, Tuesday, this week, share Jesus with one person. So, well, now my coworker's saved. Try it out on them. Share Jesus with one person. You'll be amazed at what will do in your life if you practice apostleship. The best way for faith to get under your skin is practice it. The best way to do what you're supposed to do is be obedient. When one does what the Great Commission calls for us to do, and that is Jesus' words to go and make disciples, Christianity becomes more than just on the surface. You see, I'm convinced, and I'm going to stop here. You said that a while ago. I'm going to stop here. The biggest problem we have at Northside Baptist Church or University Heights Baptist Church or the Methodist Church downtown, there's a few more problems there, but in any church you want to name, the biggest problem we have is apostleship, discipleship, salvation hadn't got under your skin. And the only way it'll ever get under your skin is get out there and do it. It gets down deep in your soul. And when it's down deep in your soul, it has a tendency to come to the surface. And it involves you being obedient to the Lord. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. For your word, I thank you. I thank you, God, for the call on our lives to be apostles, to be disciples, to be witnesses, to tell others about you. And Father, I thank you that you've commissioned us as such. And Lord, I pray today that if there's a person in this building today that's lost and without Jesus, that this would be their day. The day they come to Christ, the day they would open their hearts and receive the free gift of salvation. Because in your grace, you want us to have that. And Lord, if there's a person here today that has a decision that needs to be made for you, I pray that decision will be made. And God, as we come to this front, myself and the staff, guys that serve with me, just move in this place. Speak to the hearts of your people. May those who ought to come join, may they do so. And for those who ought to come make public professions, may they do so, God. For those who need to follow in baptism, may they come and signify that and make arrangements for that to happen. I love you, Lord. I thank you that you have called us. I thank that you've called all of us. Make us the apostles and disciples we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we stand together, you come as God might lead you.